everybody. Welcome to the Canine Connection podcast. Today, we are going to talk about random stuff because a bunch of things just like happened recently in life. And normally, Lori and I would just talk about it and then start recording. And I was like, why don't we just record it and see what happens? So the one thing is, Lori just had a training camp, which I swear to God, I'm still not over the fact that I couldn't go because my dogs weren't beginner enough. Because camps are so fun because you basically get, first of all, you get to spend multiple days with your dog just doing the thing you love, which is training, right? And like, and then you're hanging with them in the hotel and you're around other like-minded people. And I feel like I'm a big believer, and we've talked about this, about seminars, about getting information from different people. But it's still a little challenging because it's a snapshot. But 3 days, I think, is so much more productive versus 1 day or even two. Now, yes, it's hard. It's tiring mentally for you and obviously for your dog. But I don't know. Personally, I think I just love them. I think they're great. So anyway, it was your first time teaching a camp. So I just wanted to see, like, what did you think about it? Like, you know.
Yeah, it was, you know, when I had a friend of mine who had kind of brought up an idea of doing sort of like a kind of like an immersion seminar kind of thing, you know, where like we just totally get totally engrossed into tons and tons of small topics with the dogs. Like we get into the weeds of a lot of things instead of like just teaching how to do a broad jump or working on retrieves. Like we wanted to really get down into the nitty gritty of things. So after a while of thinking about it, because I was like, how the heck am I going to do this? We decided 3 days because I feel like with all the stuff I wanted to cover, I needed 3 days. Mm-hmm. And it actually, like, I could have done even a fourth day. It was so much, you know, because once you start getting into the nitty gritty, then it like goes down another rabbit hole. Oh my God, we can talk about this. And that's kind of what happened over the 3 days of the camp. Like I had it outlined with many, many, many topics that we were going to discuss and work dogs through. And of course, like it would always go down another rabbit hole, which was great. And I had kind of prefaced everybody, like, just because I have all this on the, like the outline that I gave them every day doesn't mean we're going to cover it all, because we could totally go in another direction. Mm-hmm. And they loved that because they all had they all had so many questions. What was great about it was it attracted a lot of more novice people, which was great, who were just starting to trial, or I actually had a couple people who have never really even done formal obedience. I had one girl who came who actually does search and rescue. She wanted to see what it was all about. She wanted to see if any of that stuff would apply to her dog. And now she's like, I want to do competition obedience. Like, it was really, really cool.
Well, plus training, I'm just going to jump in for a second. Like, again, like I say this all the time, right? Like, training is training. Don't limit yourself, because it doesn't mean, like, I could go to an agility seminar and learn things that I can apply to my sport. I can go to scent work, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit, and like bring that stuff from that back to what I do. So kudos to her for being so curious and open-minded that she's willing to go out, you know, somewhere completely to something regarding a different sport to learn, because whether she does obedience or not, the information is going to be relevant if she's willing to think outside the box and say, oh, how can I apply this to what I do?
Yep. And that's exactly what that camp's whole feeling ended up being all weekend. Like, we were just, depending on whatever level that person was at, whether they had never been introduced to, you know, formal obedience or participated in it, or people who were actively trialing, like, it really, like, rounded all the edges to everybody's, like, whatever niche they were currently in. It was great. Like, I loved it. In fact, it was it was hard because on my part as the presenter, because I had to, you know, you only have so many hours in the day and then you got a break for lunch. And so staying on task was a little bit of a difficult thing, but it was really good because we were able to, you know, we were able to touch on everything that I had outlined and wanted to touch on, and then some. What I loved, you know, whenever I'm new to presenting, so there's always a little bit of feeling of like you're looking out at your audience and they're looking at you like with blank faces that they don't get it or mm-hmm. they're not interested. There's always a little bit of that worry to me. Mm-hmm. So I was like floored by the active, like, conversational piece that everybody was participating in, to the point where, like, I'd be like, okay, we're going to work dogs. I have one more question. Like, I loved that, like, that just collective brainstorming piece of it all, which to me made the camp, like, you know, it just brought everybody together. We all just had huge conversations about dog training. I just loved it. Like, it was great. It was absolutely fantastic.
I think part of that is the camp format, right? It's a little, like, you have that little bit of extra time. And what I find challenging as a presenter is a lot of things. But one is, like, you know, if you know your material well, you should go in with a mindset of being flexible, right? So when I look out, if I see people are, like, not on board, I switch gears, like, immediately. Like, yeah. I will immediately switch gears. And, like, it's hard. Like, I remember one time I went somewhere, I did a seminar, it was supposed to be advanced healing, right? And I said, you know, it's really hard to do advanced healing because you have to make sure everybody there has the skill set. Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. I get there. It's a one day, which is really hard.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, 15 minutes in, I realized that half the dogs are advanced and half the dogs don't know how to heal. So now I have polar opposites, right? So what I ended up doing on the fly, probably one of the hardest things I've ever done, was giving two completely different seminars simultaneously. Because I'm like, if I do the advanced stuff, they can't do it. The other half can't do it. And it's not fair to the advanced people to do the beginner stuff because they came for an advanced seminar. Right. So on the fly, I did like a 50-50 and I was like, oh my God, I was so tired at the end of the day because I was not prepared. But like, I've many times, like, I'll go do a seminar. Half the time, I don't even know the top. I forget what the topic is. I get there, I'm like, oh, that's a topic. Okay. But then, because I know that I cannot follow my outline because I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know what their skill level is. Doesn't matter what they write in their papers ahead of time or any of that. Like, I have to kind of see, where are we at? You know, are these people looking for general information? Are they looking for, how do I do this extra? Now, obviously, I can't cater to every single person, especially in a short 1 or 2 day, or if it's a 2 day and it's like one topic one day, one topic the other day, right? It's really hard, but yeah, I just like fly by the seat of my pants a lot because I learned really early on that, like, I have no idea. And you know, you go to different parts of the country, holy Hannah, like,
differences.
They don't even train. They don't even use the same verbiage. Like, I remember I was in California and I said something and they're all looking at me weird. And I'm like, why is everybody looking at me like that? What's happening? I just say it out loud because I don't care. And they're like, well, that means that here. I go, oh, well, that explains it because that's not what I was talking about. you know, so whole, yeah, that's like really challenging. But I think from as a learner, you have to also go into these seminars with an open mind. Like everybody, you know, look, let's be realistic. We're all selfish, right? We go there and we want what we want for our dog. But you have to kind of go with an open mind because you might get something you weren't expecting and you're going to miss it if you don't have an open mind. You might be going there with an expectation of one thing. And then if it goes in a different direction, if you're resistant, you could be like, oh, well, that's not what I signed up for. But what maybe you're going to get even better information.
Right.
And the other piece that I find challenging is like, especially if it's not my students, right? Like, I'm not going to teach you my method in a day or two. Right. Like, it's impossible. You're going to get a tiny little window. So you have to be willing, again, to go in and say, let me see with what can I get out of this? Maybe I can get one or two little nuggets. Maybe it'll remind me of something I forgot, right? And if you get that out of it, I think it's worth it.
Definitely.
So it's super important to approach it with an open mind and to also, like, you know, be empathetic to the presenter who's like popping out of nowhere and like being plopped in with a bunch of people. And you have a tiny little window to share, like potentially an enormous amount of information, because you can't really touch on something. You know, everything is so complicated in dog training.
It is. It is.
But go, like, go to these things. Like, so I was just listening to this podcast. And they were talking about the chicken camps. So for people that don't know what the chicken camps are, I have not been to one. So I just know the concept. It's this guru, Bob Bailey. He's been doing them for decades. And basically you go to these camps and there are many days and you learn how to train a chicken, which apparently is super complicated. Like, so you have to, your timing, they move really quickly. So it really works on timing of your marker, reading the animal, food delivery, etc. Right. And it's supposed to, like, everyone that's ever gone is like, it's like the best thing they ever did. So now a few other people are holding these chicken camps. And this is so random. I go to this nose work lesson and I pull up and there's chickens in a pen. And the first thing I think of is, oh my God, I want to train these chickens. So I said to the nose work trainer, she probably thinks I'm insane. I'm like, do you think they would let us train the chicken? And of course, she's a dog trainer. She's like, really? You want to? I said, yeah, wouldn't that be fun? Like, I'm like, I have no idea how to do it. I have no idea how it works. But so we're going to see if when it gets warm, if they'll let us try and train the chicken.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but I think that it'll be so interesting because it's going to be hard. Right. And I think that anything related, like, I trained a pig once and it was so fun. So fascinating because it learned in a completely different way than a dog. Like, I clicker trained it, but it learned very differently. And I think anytime you do anything like that, it's going to make you a better trainer.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you have to do things like, there's no roadmap. I didn't follow a roadmap, like how to train a pig. I just was like, I don't know. They say pigs are smart. Let me have a clicker. Mom, what does your pig like to eat? It was a baby. It was a piglet, a baby. It was the best thing ever. I don't know how pigs learn, right? Like, I don't know. So we just watch, and she was a horse trainer. So she understood training, not clicker training, but she understood training. And it makes you really observe and think and problem solve. Because I think when we come into training with dogs, our brains are so cluttered. this is what I want to do. This is what I want to accomplish. Why is my dog not doing this behavior?
Right.
And we miss that whole, like the whole open-minded, mm-hmm. like just problem solving, figuring it out, learning. And it sounds like these conversations you had, like everyone's always wants to do.
They do. Like,
that conversation is, and talking and thinking is such an important piece of training.
Yeah, for sure.
That we totally don't, is overlooked.
It's totally overlooked. And I think there's also a little bit of like a mindset out there too of, you know, can you just give me the answer? Can, you know, what's the magic pill for this? You know, like, instead of that whole, like, let's just rip it apart and try to figure it out, even though it might take X amount of times to get the answer. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I love, you know, and you too, like, that's why I love training, is how the heck, how am I going to fix this? How am I going to teach this to this particular animal? Right. Like, that's what I love. And the camp was perfect for that, because the audience, they were relatively new, so they really got a chance to have those discussions, which I think were mind-blowing to them, and it really inspired them. Like, I felt when they left, they were like, oh my god, like, I didn't even know about that, I didn't even realize like that with training, I'm so inspired, I can't wait to go, like, apply all this. Which was like, that just was, you know, worth its weight in gold for sure. Like, that takeaway from many of the people. What really was a big eye opener for a lot of the people too is being there for 3 days, like you said, like being in a hotel. A couple people, like, they definitely like voiced that, like, their dogs were starting to get really tired. Their dogs, some of the dogs actually weren't feeling 100%. There were some cases like where the dogs were starting to have some diarrhea, that the people were tired. Like, this was a, and I kept saying, like, this is what we do on the road when we go away and go to 2-day trials or 3-day mm-hmm. big events. Like, this is something that your dogs do need to be able to start to handle, if that's like, those are your goals. Because it is a big, important piece to consider, like, taking your dogs on the road is a big deal. You've got hotel, like, there's stress factors in there. Mm-hmm. So that also was a big, takeaway for many people on that piece. And they, you know, aside from the adjustment and really seeing how it affects their dogs, like, they really did love it too. Like, just being in the building every day for 3 days with, like, it was like camp. Like, literally,
it,
I feel like
camp. Yeah, it is.
It was so cool.
It's fun. I think that, you know, you said that they, a lot of them were more beginners, but I think for even more so, like, the advanced people, because I think people just get in this rut. Yeah. Right? They're like, this is what I do. This is how I do it. The dog should comply to how I do it. Or they just get kind of stale, or they get, you know, and again, they lose that whole thing of, let's just sit together and talk. Let's figure this out together. Let's problem solve this. Let's break this down. Hey, I heard this, or I read that. What do you think about that? Like,
yeah.
Like, to me, I'm always like, I get so excited. I'm like, let's have a conversation about this to somebody that, like, I know and trust. And it just, and then it brings excitement back to my training, and it keeps the training, like, fresh and fun. Yeah. So, like I said, I did a nose work lesson yesterday. So basically, like, when I had my physical therapy for dogs facility, I had girls that worked for me. I had girls that were interested in training. And so they used to just take my young dogs and go off and I don't even teach them 8,000 tricks and do nose work. And I don't even know what they all did. So, like, my one trainer, she's really good. She had done some nose work with Zesty. I don't know. I never actually saw it. So I had no idea what she did. Right. So Zesty's articles, I don't know what happened. He's just lost confidence in his articles, right? And I've been doing games and stuff. It hasn't been working. So the other day I'm like, oh, she did that nose work thing with him. Like, let me, I don't know, let me see if I can do something with that. So I take this, she had this bag with like all the tins and things in it.
Yeah.
It's been in my basement for I don't even know how long, years.
Well, so yeah, it out. We a puppy. You taught him on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So I pull it out and there's tins in the, laying in the bag. I have no idea if they smell like anything. I'm smelling it. I don't know. So I just, this is how unbelievably amazing our animals are, right? And this is why when people like do too much for the dog and don't let the dog problem solve, I'm like, you have no idea what these creatures are capable of. So mm-hmm. I take this tin. I don't even freaking know if it smells like anything. I go next to my car. I show it to him. He nose touches it and he looks at me, right? Because he's like, that's what I do with a tin. So clearly she taught him a nose touch train, a response, right? Yeah. So I feed it I do it a couple times. I say, wait, I go to the other side of the car. I put it like in a spot on the fence, right? I go around, I say, okay, his release word. And I go find it. I'm like, I don't know what word she used. I don't even know, right? He runs around, starts sniffing, finds it, indicates it. I'm like, holy shit, right? Mm-hmm. I go, maybe that was an accident. So I put him back in the other side. I hide it somewhere else, let him out. He finds it. I'm like, I got to do this nose work thing with this dog, right? So I call this person up. Now, I did some nose work with Tyler 1,000 years ago. I call this trainer up. She's around the corner from me. I go, can I have a lesson? Yes. So I tell her, I don't know what, you know, whatever. Can you just see what this dog can do? So she just like hides, goes in this room, like twice the size of my garage, clutter everywhere, puts 3 hides out. Zesty has not done this with me. With me, he does obedience. So he has no context, right? We're in this place with chickens, right? And I go in the building and I just go, search. He looks at me. I go, find. That's his like article word. And I like shoo him with my hands and he freaking goes and he finds the 3 hides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, how is this even possible? So anyway, so we did more, but I said to the trainer, I know in nose work, one, you know where the hides are or when you teach it. I said, but later on in the more advanced levels, you don't know where they are. You could be, it could be a blank room.
Right.
I said, so don't tell me because I want to hone that skill. I don't know if I'm ever going to show him in nose work at all, but I want to do that.
Right.
And because as a trainer, it's observation, sharp observation, right? Like of the dog. And I think that's a really important skill that people don't have mm-hmm. is reading their dog.
Totally.
And so I want to take this opportunity doing this random thing that I'm just doing for, I don't even know if I'm going to do anything with it and really watch the dog. And it was so fun and so fascinating to me just to watch him. And he's obviously there's genetics involved. He comes from, you know, strong
detection lines.
So you could see that kick in, you know, which is super interesting. But so people should just work on that. Like, and it got me so excited. And then I left and I called up Riley, who trained him. I'm like, you did such a good job with him. And I'm like, so excited. I already set up another lesson for next week.
Oh, good.
It's just so fun and so interesting.
Yeah.
It's giving him something else to do. He loved it.
Yeah.
You know, and then halfway through, this is what a knucklehead I am. Like halfway through, all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? I think this other girl that worked for me way back taught nose work to Zaina. So like I said that out loud and the instructor's like, you know, I think she did some lessons with me. So I don't know. I'm going to see if Zaina knows it too. I think so. Then I said something to Riley and Riley goes, yeah, Sarah taught nose work to Zaina. I'm like, she did? She goes, yes, she took her to class. I go, oh, I don't even remember. She took her to classes and stuff. I don't even remember.
Oh my God.
So I'm gonna have Zaina try it too. But like, so the point is like, You like, is that going to do anything for my obedience? Well, one, it'll give them something else to do, which is a nice mental break for them, like a nice mental shift. I think I'm going to learn. I do think I'm going to learn things
I think
that
you're
can
definitely
help
going to
me.
learn things, especially because like we, you know, the scent discrimination piece of our obedience, you know, like I don't want to say it's not natural. I mean, they are going out to use their nose, but to me, it's not organic like it is when we do like nose work and they're actually out like in the environment searching and hunting. And I just feel like you are going to probably see and discover a lot of things in him, you know, like his just his behaviors when he's actually searching and hunting that could give you some sort of indication on, you know, the whys of things that might be happening in your obedience. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's what I love about it.
and we also talked about we were talking about arousal there, and because we talked about it, I started really watching him. So, because he comes also from lines where they're in like his arousal can be like insanely off the charts in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, definitely.
And but he doesn't, most people don't see that because she's looking at him and she's like, wow, like he's so thoughtful and he's so this and that. And I said, yeah, but I said, that's training. And I said, just watch, right? And she would, then she started really watching. And in between, she could see like all these things I was doing because I said, see right now. And like, because after a few reps, he started going, ooh, this game is fun. So she goes to hide and he starts going, ooh, she's putting things out there. Now I'm getting excited. And
Right,
all of a sudden,
he's
his,
buying
oh,
them. Yeah,
yes. And
he's
I
buying.
said to her, see that? I said, now, and then I immediately did things to stop that,
Yeah.
right? Like I redirected his attention. I had him do tricks. I had him do thoughtful, slow tricks because I'm like, I'm not going down this road where you're going to start screaming your brains out because you know somebody's putting hides out because
Yeah.
that's not going to be productive.
Right.
So, we started talking about that. And then, and that led to like watching that, like little subtle things, not like letting it get to where he's screaming. I'm like, and then it made me realize, like, I do these things and I don't even know I'm doing it. Right? Like, I just was automatically doing it. But because she had said something, I was watching and then I pointed it out to her.
Right.
But it just reminded me like of how important it is for people to observe their dog, like really observe their dog moment by moment, because like a lot of times they don't notice things until it's like extreme, right? Their dog sitting there,
Yeah.
and then they're like, oh shit, I have a problem.
Yeah. And
No, you could see that way sooner.
yeah,
You get
wait.
in there.
And like I, you know, even with Salty now, he's 5 months, you know, and he's doing his tins, you know, for his articles. We're just starting to do some articles, but I am now like seeing, like I've got to watch it because he, like, there's things I'm starting to see, you know, like he has this like unbelievable desire to do this now. Like, this is fucking off the chain for him. So I'm starting to see some stuff that I need to definitely like regulate or watch carefully or be able to work some arousal modification stuff in because he like there's things like he now he's starting to vocalize when he sees me put the stuff out. You know, he's going out to the pile like a freaking madman and there's like you can just hear him like and he's only 5 months old like and I just I, 2 dogs ago I wouldn't even have noted. I would have been like, oh wow, he really loves his articles, but I know now. Like, yeah, that looks great. You can see like the wow, that dog really loves to do it. But those are the things like I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, no, because that's going to go. Yeah, like I remember, so Tyler was my first like high drive field dog. I literally went from a breed dog.
Yeah.
To a super high powered dog. I was pushed into it. I was terrified. I didn't want to. Long story, I'm not going to bore everybody with the story. But anyway, so I have this high powered dog, right? So he's okay. You know, 5 months old, still good, right? Hmm. One day, I think it was around 6 months, give or take, we're walking from the car. So I was doing field, walking from the car to, you know, the spot where we're going to do field. And all of a sudden, he kicks in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy Hannah, what is this thing next to me? He's like, rah, screaming, like can't like hold heel position. Blah. And I was like completely rattled. Right. I was like, I don't even know what to do. I don't, cause literally this was my second dog. Right.
Yeah.
And so my trainer that had bred him and blah, blah, was like, you better do something about that now. And I'm like, dude, what? Like, I was like, right? Because I went from like this wonderful puppy to this like raving lunatic.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only reason I got that dog was because I knew that I had that help, right? Because that was the agreement. Right. I was like, I cannot take this animal if someone doesn't help me, because it is outside the scope of my ability level, right? But had I not had that help and dealt with it then, and then consistently every day moving forward, like I would have had a big problem, and I would have never accomplished anything with that dog.
Yeah.
You know, so like it's important to start dealing with that stuff, like away.
You know, the recognizing it, you know, like that's the thing. Like I now can see three dogs later, you know, I had Mary Elizabeth, who was a breed dog. You know, I didn't have any of that with her. And then I got Ever. And yeah, she's got tons of drive, but she's a super low arousal dog. Mm-hmm. Like it takes me to manufacture that. Like I got to pour on the gas quite a bit to bring her there, which she can. But this pup and Stormy, then there's Stormy who just lives in high arousal. Mm-hmm. But she's different. Like there's a difference there. Like this puppy is a whole new ball of wax for sure. Like, you know,
because he's from working lines, right? And like if you refer back to our interview with Kate,
right?
Like, and you know, that's what like kind of like there's performance and then there's working, and that's just like a whole nother ball of wax, right?
It is a whole
these dogs are just monsters. Like they will run you over.
Yeah,
they will just work
for the sake. Yeah, it's like even now, like at 5 months, and you know, like I love it. Like we talk about that. Like that's what we love. We want that. But on the other hand, like I got to be super diligent in making sure that things are capped appropriately.
Well, it's a skill, right? Like I never like I talk about this all the time. People see the end result, right? So like this instructor sees Zesty working. People see Zesty in the ring. And that's what, then they want that.
Right.
And then they call me up or email me or whatever. And they're like, where do you get your dog? And I'm like, you do not want that.
Right.
And a lot of times I literally can't convince them because they don't see what is behind the scenes. They don't see what they're like in life. They don't see what they're like in training. They don't see like what we have to do constantly. They don't see what we've done to get that. Like very few people like at work they don't understand, and it's very hard. And then if they do get a dog like that, even though I tell them not to, I can tell you countless times those dogs have been washed out, like meaning they can't work them, they can't do the things they want because they can't get what they need out of that dog because those dogs are too complicated. Like they're too hard. Like you have to, you know, so like when we went and looked at Salty as a puppy, 99% of the people, I would have said, no, don't take that puppy. Because yeah. I knew on that day, I know what that dog is going to look like.
Right.
In 6 months, in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years. And I know that if you don't have the skill level, you right. are not going to be able to manage that dog.
Yeah.
You know, so people have to keep that in mind. Like, there are plenty of dogs that have a lot of energy and drive and willingness to work, but right. that are not so, like, you know, over the top that
right. you need right.
to have a certain skill set.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's definitely a trade off, you know, like living with a dog like that, you know, for sure.
Yeah. I know. I have to, I keep meaning to do it, but like, it happens at odd times. And like, I don't tend to have my phone on my body. Like, yeah. Just filming him, like in the morning or heading out the door every single time I get up or, you know, when I get to a place where we're going to hike and there's mass chaos in my truck, like three yeah. dogs screaming their brains.
Like, yeah.
Totally. Oh, my God.
Oh, my so, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
All right. So go to seminars, people. Go to camps. Yeah. You're having more camps. Well, I shouldn't say that because you're already full. So.
Yeah, but we are. Yeah. So we're doing a spring camp and it like filled really fast. So I decided to do a second, like an identical second one. So that filled too. So I'm definitely going to be doing these twice a year. I'd like to stick with just doing one in the spring and one in the winter. I think they're super important. They are for every level. I do change them up a little bit, but they are beneficial for anybody at whatever level. I assure you, because there's just, it is that immersion feel, like, which I think, for some reason, this camp really brings that piece together, which I think people really benefit from and they really love. So,
well, it's having that extra time and it's not necessarily having like a specific topic per se, yeah. right? Like when I go and I do somewhere and I do a 2 day, don't email me. I don't do them anymore. I'm doing one for Lori as a because she's my friend. But I don't do them. But when I did, it was like day one, it's this. So it's like 1 day on a topic, which is insanity because like there's no way you can cover even remotely close to like yeah. a percentage right. of that topic. And you're trying to cram as much as you can into 1 day. And then the next day, it's a different topic. Right. So now you're trying to cram everything about that topic like into 1 day, right? Which is not to say they're not beneficial. They are. It's just a different feel and a different, it's just different than when you have multiple days and all those days are geared towards kind of like one goal or one top, not one topic, yeah. but like, you know, in one direction. Yeah. And that gives you, and you have more time. So it gives you like a little more flexibility and you can go down some rabbit holes. But regardless, seminars are always beneficial. Like you're doing one and it's just 1 day and I'm going to come for that.
Yeah.
And it's on Mondio. So like, whatever, I don't care. I just want to learn, you know, any sport, anything I'm fascinated by, I'm going to learn things from. Like, I've learned things in every sport and they apply to all the things, to all my other sports. Yeah. Dog training is dog training. So like, be excited, be open-minded, learn, you know.
Yeah.
And have fun with it.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, cool.
All right,
thanks,
awesome.
Everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. I changed my bye.